I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie, and today I'm joined by the Connor family, at least two of them, Kyle and Dave, Out of Spec Dave. Thank you for joining me today. We want to dive into the topic that came up last week, and that is that Lucid finally announced they were going NACS. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. We had a couple podcasts, about kind of this topic in terms of Lucid, Voltage, Tesla, NACS before, and we were just waiting patiently for Lucid to come along with and go public with their plans for NACS, whatever it was. I know, Dave, you were like, come on, let's go ahead and get there. Let the customers know what's going on. So now we can finally talk about it. What are your first thoughts about Lucid saying, okay, yes, we're going NACS?
Well, yeah, my first thought is the fact that they waited so long. I feel good that we're waiting so long to actually do this podcast, because then it's only fair, you know, that we... But all kidding aside, I think it's a great announcement that is way overdue. And the thing is, and Kyle, I'll be curious to hear your thoughts about this, but I'm sure there's lots of behind the scenes strategic conversations and you know, what are they really going to do with respect to NACS? But what's frustrating to me is it felt like they were trying to work out perhaps the technology solution before they came out with the strategic direction. And I, in this particular case of any of the manufacturers that are saying that they're going to join NACS, there's obviously got to be some, you know, some technological work that has to be done in order to get prepared for it. So why they waited so long is baffling to me. And the fact that they have come out with this, it's great, and I think it's a good, commendable thing, but let's not forget, they said 2025. So that leaves a lot of questions as to whether or not they're going to have an adapter. What are they going to do as far as, you know, the Wunderbox not being able to support faster charging speeds at the current lower V3 rates? So I have a lot of questions about what it means, but... what I would say is I'm pleased. I'm just a little bit sort of dismayed by how long it took them to come out with this announcement.
But what would... okay, so before we get into anything else, let's talk about what is NACS? Why would an automaker need to switch our point of view? So, Dad, maybe you can go back in time, reverse us out of this, and go high level. Why did the NACS switch come around, and what has that rollout been like?
Yeah, well, that's so there's, you know, for maybe the old timers that remember Sony Betamax versus Panasonic VHS, there are currently two standards in the country right now for charging. I mean, there are technically three if you throw CHAdeMO in, but put that aside. There's the Tesla supercharger standard, which has been sort of earlier, I think it was earlier this year, they came out and said, we're calling it the North America Charging Standard. Just think of it as Tesla, the way that you would charge a Tesla at a DC fast charger, and the actual plug, the unit that you plug into your car, that is very elegant, very light, very nimble to be able to single-handedly plug in. And then sort of the other standard is the charging combo standard that is available in the United States, which is a combination of a J1772 plug, which is AC, and then you have these two pins that are down below that, which is DC. And it's a very cumbersome, heavy, thick cable unit. But more importantly than that, all of the decentralized, I want to say all, but many of the decentralized charge point operators that are supplying energy to electric vehicles through the CCS charging standard, the reliability, the availability, the number of units that are out there pales in comparison to what the Tesla standard is. So what does that mean for someone, anyone who's buying any other car other than a Tesla? That means that you've got to go to one of these other charge point operators. You've got to be able to find a unit that is available. And when I say available, let's say you pull into a unit that is maybe four stations, as opposed to oftentimes you pull into a Tesla supercharger, there may be 8, 10, 12, or even more. And then if you pull into a unit that has four charging stations, some of them charge at higher speeds or will put out energy at a faster rate than others. So maybe two would be 350 kilowatts and then two would be 150 kilowatts. But what we've noticed over the last year is that oftentimes the units are either, let's say of the four, maybe three of them might be operating. One of them may be what we call NERF. They're not putting out as much energy. And it becomes a very frustrating thing that while you're driving to that charging station, you start getting anxious that I hope it's up. I hope there isn't a line. I hope that I can get full power. And you start thinking about all these things, which is a term that, you know, a lot of us in the industry, many of us call charging anxiety. And so when you compare that to the charging experience that I have or anyone has with respect to Tesla, more units, very much more reliable, at least according to not only my experience, but a lot of the rate your charge check-ins that we get, they're the number one reliability network that's out there. You just don't worry about it. You figure out where they are. There's so many of them out there. You pull in, you plug in, they work. And so the benefit of auto manufacturers coming over and saying, okay, we understand that this CCS charging network is not as reliable. There's not as much of it. We as a manufacturer are now going to throw in the towel and say, you know what? We're going to join the party. We're going to now allow our cars to go and charge on the Tesla network. Hallelujah, right? That's a really good thing that invokes a lot of confidence in someone who either owns a CCS car or is thinking about buying a CCS car. So when a manufacturer such as Lucid waits as long as they did to announce the fact that they're going to support the Tesla NACS or, you know, supercharger network, that doesn't really bode well for confidence that they are aligning themselves with the best standard. And so, you know, I'm thrilled
they've already switched, right?
What's that?
They've already decided they are going to go NACS. So yeah. What does it matter how long it took? If they announced it 4 months ago or 6 months ago, the cars would still be the same today.
They would be. But Kyle, I think it would have voted like me having a Lucid. It would have given me the hope that perhaps someday I'm going to, if I were to keep that car, I'd be able to charge at a Tesla supercharger at a good rate. By them not saying anything about it, I start thinking like, well, why aren't they saying anything about it? It's a simple communication, right? Figure out how you're going to do it later. But but don't not tell me what you're going to do, even if it's going to be 2 years from now. That creates doubt in my mind as a consumer that the brand even knows what they're doing to align themselves with the best charging network in the world. Silence in this case was not golden to me. It really was very upsetting.
Yes, you bring, you know, the point of communication from the automakers. And I do think it's interesting because there are other automakers that haven't announced their plans to switch to NACS, but the one side is definitely heavier than the other, you know, of who has switched and who's still holding out. And Lucid being a newer automaker, I can see where your concern of like, well, if they're not telling us about their strategic approach with this, what else does that mean? What other kind of worries do you have? I mean, you want a strong foothold in this industry, so maybe being wishy-washy on the standard that is seeming to be inevitable, I can see where like the frustration as a consumer would come in there, which is what you're speaking to, Dave.
Kyle, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Francie, there's a lot of doubts, I think, in people's minds about Lucid as a brand. I don't think anybody has any question about the technology being fantastic technology, but you see the cars piling up on the lots. You see them having to lower the prices of the car in a reaction, not in a leadership position, as a reaction to what Tesla is doing. They're offering 0% money, subsidized leases. They're struggling to increase their sales. They were saying they were guiding at 14,000 earlier this year. Then they lowered that to 10. Now they just lowered it to 8. And all of these things cumulatively add up to concern. And then you layer on top of that the fact that they're not coming out with any kind of message. I don't care if it's like, we're never going to support NACS and here are the reasons why, or we're going to support NACS someday and here are the challenges that we have. Nobody better than Lucid, in my opinion, to explain technology. The videos that they've put out about how their systems work, and you know, they were in a perfect position to be able to communicate to the world about why they were silent, and they just didn't do it. And I think when you add it all up, it was adding a lot of angst among those that were into this kind of a thing, you know. So,
but let's not dwell on the past. Forget all that. That we're past it. It doesn't matter. We already did the podcasts on why they shouldn't switch. They did. So they are agreeing to accept the North American charging standard. We knew they were going to do that, as will every automaker at this point. You kind of have to. It is the standard now. And, you know, I think the bigger question for me comes, okay, yeah, back a little bit to the communication side, which is how are they going to implement it? What will the restrictions be on version 3 and version 4 supercharging as of today? We definitely should touch on those in this episode, some of those concerns, but I think it's great news to say, in my opinion, I think this is all a pretty positive story, that it's like, okay, now you can buy, in theory, the longest range EV on the market with amazing driving performance. No question, the Lucid drives better than almost any EV I can think of on the market from a performance standpoint, as well as balancing the comfort that it has. And now you can actually charge it, because we drove it across the country. You've driven it up and down the East Coast. We had some niggles with the car, small niggles, little tiny things here. Headlights made a little bit of noise, no auto lane change, a little niggles, but it was all about the charging. It was that the car did not interface well with the public charging networks that were out there. Mm-hmm. And now they still may not. That's the question.
Right.
At least we know that once they figure out the interoperability of the chargers, you know, the communications between Tesla and Lucid, you know, that they'll at least charge. Will they charge at their maximum rate? That's what we haven't heard yet. We also should mention that in a little bit. I also want to say anecdotally, I'm about to attend the Charin conference in a couple weeks. And Francie, you should probably go to that as well.
I was planning on it.
Okay, good.
Where's my info?
Well, you could go, Dad, but I'm not sure any of these people really want to talk to you. You just spent the whole last 10 minutes bashing Lucid. So, but no, I think ultimately the fun thing is, last time I was at the Charin testing festival, they Lucid and Tesla, their charging teams, really were hanging out. And so I think I feel pretty confident that they will sort out the interoperability. Mm-hmm. Where I don't have so much confidence is what happens on the older supercharging equipment that doesn't support 1,000 volts. So, Dad, this is where your personal experience comes in. I've done it as well. But you've charged a Lucid on a supercharger with a Magic Dock. Can you walk us through that experience? Because the actual charging wasn't an issue. It initiated just fine. There was no connection problems or anything like that, but there were some other problems.
Yeah. No, I mean, it worked fine up in Brewster, New York. I charged my Lucid up there. The only problem was that it only pulled about 45 kilowatts max at a properly, you know, preconditioned battery and a low state of relatively low state of charge. And I know you've explained to me in the past why that is a limitation, and so I am concerned as well about the V3s. Now, my understanding is I'll be really curious to see, now that V4s are popping up with the 1,000 volt, how fast, you know, if they put magic, are they putting magic docks on all V4s, Kyle? Do you know?
Yes, but they're not turned on yet.
Oh, so they're still in the back, the machines in the back, are the chargers themselves are still in effect like V3s. So it'll be very interesting.
Magic docks are built into the dispenser on that particular topic. So yeah, all V4s are still V3 cabinets today.
Right.
And actually, we're going to go visit one tomorrow. So we'll have a video on that soon in the U.S.
Yeah, but I mean, once the first V4 comes out that's putting out the higher, you know, voltage, then I think that's a game changer for how fast the Lucid is going to charge. And then it's just a matter of Tesla getting out there and whether or not they're able to upgrade the V3 cabinets, or they're going to have to, you know, put it when they put out the V4s with the V4 cabinets and putting out the higher architecture. Honestly, Kyle, the fact that there's a strategic direction there by the two companies announcing that puts my mind at rest that there is going to be a solution in a year or two, right? Because they're saying 2025. But to charge a Lucid today on a V3 Magic Dock is actually slower than charging on a 350 EA nerfed at 50 kilowatts. That's bad.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so the general reason as to why is because Tesla's equipment goes up to 500 volts maximum, their current equipment. We expect the future equipment to get up to 1,000 volts. That has not been rolled out yet. And so I was at Lucid talking to their executive team, talking to Peter Rawlinson, talking to my friend Ahmad, who runs their powertrain. I mean, these are friends of mine. These are people I know really well. And like, they watch all of our stuff. They know exactly what's going on in the industry. It's not because they're ignorant or they don't want to look or anything like that. They know 100% the experiences we had with our Lucid on all of our trips and all these things. I think Yeah, the communication side publicly was lacking, no question. I think we can all agree on that. There's a way to put your customers at ease to say, hey, we know something's not good. We got to make a change. Now they're doing that. Things are looking up. What we don't know yet is how they're going to handle this low voltage problem. The thing is, going forwards, when Tesla starts installing version 4 cabinets, whatever they may be, I can't wait to see one, film one, try one. That's going to be amazing. I hope. But at least today, all of the infrastructure is capped at 500 volts maximum. What the car has to do then is accept a lower voltage from the charger and then step up that voltage to the battery pack's voltage. The thing is, whenever you're DC charging, you need to match your charging and your battery pack voltage roughly the same. Charging has to be just slightly higher for it to dump current in. And so that means that the car has to use something called the Wonder Box in this case to boost up the voltage in order to charge the high voltage battery pack. And that booster is limited to 50 kilowatts. And it's, I think, I don't know how many amps it can actually do, but it's roughly at a version 3 supercharger, version 4 dispenser today, one of the newer chargers. 43 to 45 kilowatts roughly is what it will do. And that is, you know, when I was talking to Lucid, I'm like, you know what, that is probably worse than not adopting NACS. If you put a NACS port on your car and send them send your customers to a supercharger, and now you're saying that the longest range, fastest charging EV with all the tech can only charge at 45 kilowatts? Well, you can't do that. And so, you know, that was my impression. I know you felt differently, Dad. You were like, I'd rather have the backup of slow charging, try the EA down the street and go to the supercharger. I disagreed. I thought in no way should any company send their customers to a charger that can't at least charge their vehicle at a reasonable rate.
Look, I you know, it's a tricky technology problem for the point in time we're at right now. But had I been able to, you know, at least know that I would be able to go to V3s and get 45 kilowatts, then I know I'm going to be able to make it, you know, home or be able to limp along on the trip. And I know that's also a temporary situation. I have every bit of confidence in the technology leadership at Lucid that they will figure this out. The fact that they've said it now is great. I think it's amazing. I wish they had said that.
So what do you think they're going to do to figure it out? Because there's a few things Lucid can do. And then, of course, we know Tesla is already going to be upgrading their charging equipment to 1,000 volts. Once that happens, Lucid doesn't have to do a thing. So do you think Tesla said, hey, we're going to upgrade our equipment? Or do you think Lucid said, we're going to upgrade the boosting capability of our cars?
Yeah. So think about this. Tesla, there's no way that Lucid is going to alter their rollout plans for the road to 1,000 volts, you know, because of Lucid or because of throw in the Korean brands as well, right?
But it's not just them. It's every brand has plans to go high voltage.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that the rollout, I think the vision state that Tesla has is V4, which is 1,000 volt. Let's say that build out is 3 years, 2 years, whatever it is. They have already laid out their strategy. They're not going to alter that strategy, especially for a small, we're selling, you know, 8,000 cars a year manufacturer. There's no way they would do that. And so the short-term solution has to be on the burden has to be on the engineers at Lucid in order to provide the kind of charging experience that you would expect them to provide, in my opinion. I don't think that anyone could hold Tesla accountable to say, oh, they need to step out for V4 faster because of the higher voltage cars that are out there today. They've got a plan. They're going to stick to it. And Lucid right now, the challenge is on Lucid to figure out, could they modify the Wonderbot? Now, I know you've talked to me offline about this. Like, that's a really expensive retrofit. But me, okay, being a consumer, I hear about these adapters. I said, I really think these guys at Lucid are super smart. Why can't they figure out some kind of a device of, I don't know if it goes on the car, it gets installed in the trunk, that could allow them to charge the car at a faster rate under the current V3 charging capability?
You wouldn't even be able to pick it up.
Well, it's not for me to figure that out.
It would be so heavy. But that's not the solution. A lot of these standards don't really allow for adapters that even have a cable length to them. Some of them don't even allow adapters at all. And so by locking them to a vehicle, it no longer becomes an adapter. I mean, that's not possible. What you're trying to suggest is,
well, then I think
a transformer in the trunk of your vehicle that you plug in.
No, that's fair. So, you know, okay, I'm not as geeky as you. Nerd level 7,820, not 9,000 here, you know. but the thing is, Kyle, then I think because of the strategic announcement that Lucid has made, the word patience finds a sweet spot in my brain as far as vocabulary goes. I just, if I have to wait, that's okay. It's a great car. It's an amazing car. If I know that Tesla's build out is going to be there in 2 or 3 years, maybe I keep my car, or maybe I buy one knowing that it's going to be there.
But we don't know. The official announcement doesn't say retroactive support for previous vehicles. It just says from 2025 onwards, right? Do you know that, Dad? Because they didn't mention anything about an adapter, I don't think.
I do recall, I don't have the exact wording, maybe it wasn't a very long statement.
Into future vehicles in 2025. Let's just look really quick. We have the official one. Can you just scroll up a little bit? Because that'll give us the highlights. Lucid customers will be able to access 15,000 superchargers. It's now gone from 12 to 15,000. Lucid vehicles built with the current CCS will be able to so they will have an adapter, but mm-hmm. in 2025. So most companies are going to have an adapter starting in 24, like in just a few months from now.
Right, the sooner the better.
And I think the Lucid waiting might, the reason they might be waiting is because Tesla may have said, hey, give us a year and we're going to upgrade our equipment to 1,000 volts.
Right.
Why wouldn't they just do it now if that wasn't the case?
I mean, not exactly. Yeah, I mean, I see where you're going there. And I think you had an interesting point of this conversation that was about whether or not...
I don't ever have interesting points. No, what are you trying to get
at? It was your dad, actually.
Okay, good.
The point of like, well, Tesla's probably not going to, you know, change their network to meet the demand of the cars that are going to be on the road, or maybe, you know, the automakers have to meet what Tesla's going to do. But I do think it's interesting because Tesla is moving out from their private network into the public. So they are taking on new strategies to, I think so. I mean, like consider the public charging network business model, which is a bit different than what they've done before, where
they
do
need to
have
stop
to be,
thinking.
They can't just
closed.
Be thinking all Tesla, right? And they would, knowing Tesla, they're not, I think. Because, you know, if you look at the customer service that they're going to provide, if they're going to compete against, I mean, it's a pretty wide gap for EVgo or EA to catch up to Tesla. But if Tesla misstepped and one of those became, I mean, a strong standard there that could actually continue providing for those who were switching over to NACS or still CCS, then, I mean, I do think basically what I'm trying to say is that Tesla does have to consider the public network now stronger, of course, than they had to before, and I believe that they would be.
I think Tesla will support 1,000 volts at all of their V3 sites. I also think that is the reason for the 2025 initial start for the adapter. That is pure speculation. I don't know that to be the case. Let's say Lucid decides they need to up the boosting capability. And so whether that means they're going to bring all of their vehicles they've built back to the factory, because it's a hardware limitation built into the vehicle where they can't do more than 45 kilowatts on a 500 volt cap charger, which are V3s and now current V4s. So they would either need to say you're limited to that, or bring your vehicle back and we'll give you, you know, a hardware retrofit. Or it could be a little bit of software if they played around with the rear motor's inverter, like it's a physical or software change of where the power's routed. I don't even know if they're with their current wiring, if they could go through the rear motor inverter without having a secondary path for the DC current to flow. Like when you look at Ioniq 5 charge port, there's a line that goes to the high voltage battery or the high voltage junction box, which goes to the battery. And there's a line that goes to the rear motor so that it could step up the voltage for boosting. I don't know how Lucid would do that without a hardware retrofit, but they're really smart. So it's possible they could. I don't know their architecture as much as possible or as much as I should. But with that said, I think, I don't think Lucid can send customers and get 46 kilowatts. They either need to up the boosting capacity, and I hope they do that for all vehicles on the road and not just current generation or future generation product forwards. And I also think Tesla needs to support 1,000 volts at all existing chargers. There's 15,000 version 3 charging posts that cars will have access to. BMW is going 1,000 volt. Mercedes going up to 1,000 volt. Lucid has an EGMP.
Cybertruck. Do you know, is that like, will that benefit from a V4 1,000 volt charger over a V3? Okay. So
we expect it to.
So there's the motivation for Tesla to accelerate the road to V4 chargers being truly 1,000 volts.
I think there's multiple motivations. I think because they've opened up the network to all of these automakers, that's, you know, combined more cars than Tesla sells, and they're going to be the ones charging.
Is that true? I don't know.
Yeah. If you look at all the other automakers combined, it's got to be more cars than Tesla sells.
I don't know if that's true.
We got numbers? Let's pull up some numbers. You think Tesla outsells all other automakers combined in electric?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I know that
someone comment below with that figure. I mean, that'd be wild if that was the case.
Yeah, but Kyle, the thing is, you have to realize, I mean, and I know you do, right? Tesla will get there, but they're not going to change their plan for anyone other than first their vertical, which are their cars. That's why I'm saying if Cybertruck can benefit from 1,000 volt.
How are you saying that so definitively?
Because, Kyle, they have to service their brand first, I would think.
Yeah, but by going 1,000 volts, it doesn't hurt their brand. It just opens it up for more people, more cars, more customers to have a good charging experience.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying they're not going to do that. I'm just saying the timing of that, the sequencing of that, the motivation for them to accelerate that is not going to be coming from the few manufacturers today that happen to have 800 or 900 volt cars on the road. It's a factor, but it's not necessarily the reason why they're going to accelerate that path to 1,000 volts. That's a big job for them to do that.
It is a big job, but I also think they have to think ahead at least a decade.
Yeah.
Which seems to be pointing that, I mean, the technology is going in this direction, right? Faster and faster charging, better and better charging capabilities. It'll probably cap somewhere, sometime.
Either way, Cybertruck, I don't know. We think they'll have a split pack situation where they'll still charge full speed on 400 volt chargers or 500 volt chargers. Yeah, okay. So I'm not sure that's the motivation. But if it is, then whatever it takes, I guess. Either way, the news is Lucid switched. It's not the first high voltage automaker to switch. Hyundai Kia Genesis was the first.
Who's next?
Either Stellantis or Volkswagen Group are the only two big ones left.
Mm-hmm.
I know Volkswagen Group wants to do it, or at least certain people within the group want to do it, especially Porsche. They're the ones really pushing the group forwards. They're going to do it. I just don't know when. And it doesn't really matter at this point when. My opinion is like, okay, well, now everyone's made their announcements. We know the standard. It doesn't, as long as you get the adapter, when the adapter starts shipping, you got a few months to figure this thing out and then just wait a little bit. But I'm glad that you're pleased with this announcement, Dad, it sounds like. I am.
And I think what it does is Tesla, Lucid is going through a tough time right now to convince people to buy their cars, okay? And this announcement should give people the peace of mind that they will have a solution in place down the road. And so
it certainly makes the cars much more attractive.
Absolutely. And I think it also bodes well for Gravity when that comes out in, what is it? Maybe fourth quarter 2024, but most likely 2025. I would say that I'd be surprised based on the timing of this announcement and based on the expected date of delivery of Gravity that Gravity will ship. I'd be surprised if it doesn't ship with a native NACS port as opposed to a CCS and then having to rely on an adapter. And so I think that bodes really well for the confidence in people to put their orders in for the Gravity when that becomes available. And so it's it's an amazing announcement. I'm super happy. Had this announcement been made 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I may still own my Lucid. That's how strongly I feel about this. A lot of Lucid owners that I've talked to in the Reddit boards and what have you, they're like, listen, the way I use my car, it's okay. Once in a while I charge level two it at home and it's fine for me. Why are you making so much noise about it? And, I just don't like that anxiety with as much as I and you and we road trip, you shouldn't have to worry about it. And it's not Lucid's fault here. They're so far ahead and so far advanced with the technology that the limitation in terms of being nerfed because of the Wonderbox limitation, that in combination with the fact that EA and others have not either put the network out, enough or not have maintained it. I don't think anyone could have foreseen that situation from happening when Lucid was making the engineering decisions as far as what hardware they were going to put in their cars. I think they had the best of intentions. And quite honestly, if I were part of the team back then, I probably would have said the same thing. Yeah, let's go 800 volts or 900 volts, depending whether it's a GT or a Touring or a Pure. And it's just they got caught in this really strange trap of not being able to come out and announce next because of the 45 kilowatt limitation. So Well, but it is a great announcement.
I think it's a good announcement. I mean, it's the way that it's going, for sure. It's a bit of a forced hand, but I think it is also the, you know, obviously the winning technology at this point. And I'm sure that those over at Lucid are hoping that this can help them and where they are, as you said, that they're in a bit of a, you know, they haven't been doing that great. They also have a new COO. So we'll just, in terms of sales, so we'll see what happens with Lucid. This seems to be a step in the right direction, but, you know, with such a new automaker in this competitive space, we'll have to keep our eye on it.
Yeah, my final thoughts are, who, you know, why 2025 and not an adapter in 24? And that leads me to believe something is going to happen in 24 to change, because they could offer the adapter in early 24, I believe. So something's going to happen then, whether that's they're going to have a retrofit for higher boosting capability, or Tesla's going to support 1,000 volts or something around then. And then the cars with native NACS, it'll be interesting. There are, you know, there are a couple other things. Lucid has just announced vehicle-to-vehicle charging. I believe they're the first to bring it to market. And it's really cool. And so they're going to have to do all that through the NACS port. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And, you know, they have a lot of tech that they need to get worked out here. But I think it's great news. Like you said, Dad, the connector is better. That's not why everyone is switching, though. If CCS, you know, networks had provided the reliability that customers expect, then this would not have been a conversation. Has nothing to do with the port, all to do with the access to the Tesla supercharger network. And I think the reason Lucid's going to start offering the adapter and everything later is, again, something's going to happen throughout the year 2024. I'm sure we'll find out soon, at least over the next year or so, as to why the adapter's not going to be available in early 24.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. My last and final thoughts are just simply peace of mind that they announced this, that they have a plan. I don't even need to know what the plan is. I trust them. They're going to come out with a solution. I really believe that. They're smart. I don't need to know what that plan is. So I think anyone who's out there thinking about buying a Lucid today, if that's the car for you, this is a great announcement to give you the peace of mind to write the check. Because they will be there to support you, and they will have a solution for you. I also think, Kyle, with your latest trip that you just did from Colorado out to South Carolina, you had a pretty damn good experience with CCS, right? So, you
but
know,
keep in mind that CCS with a lower voltage car. A lot of the stations we ran into with the Lucid were perfectly functioning chargers for 400 volt class of vehicle, where its very high voltage caused, you know, the infrastructure couldn't support the power at that very high voltage with signet surge and other things. So, So at least on the face of it, my experience was great. But if I plugged a Lucid into those stations, it still would have surged.
Got it. Yeah. Well, guys, listen, psyched they announced it. I think it bodes well for, if they had said that it would not support any of the existing cars on the road today, that would be bad. But if the fact that the announcement says it's going to be retroactive, that should give everyone the peace of mind to write the check today. And also know that Gravity is going to probably be, you know, that's going to be dialed, right, with the proper hardware in the cars from day one, along with the, you know, the airs from 2025 on, I would imagine as well.
Well, we'll be filming Gravity in a week's time.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you think about it, because I really like the look of that car, and I liked everything about my Lucid, just the charging. So I got high hopes for that Gravity.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Dave, to speak about it. You know, as a Lucid owner, you have that perspective that is definitely interesting and in-depth in terms of that EV and where the company will go, because we're also invested in the strategic decisions and where these companies go with their technology and their offerings and then the collaborations they have across the space. So thanks for coming on the
financially.
Podcast.
No, we're not financially invested in any company.
Oh, no.
You mean interested.
Yeah. I never mean that I'm invested in the company.
Yeah, Kyle, I just had to make
that
because someone would clip that and then share it around social media.
Well, if you want to edit this video, Yes. Okay, great. Thanks for coming on the podcast today. This is a lovely long conversation about Lucid once again. So we'll see who falls to next. Place your bets below. Just kidding. And thank you for joining us today on the Out of Spec podcast. We will see you next time.
Mm-hmm. My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.